Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Bruce and I spent last week in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, learning about trauma and responses to trauma. We took the Eastern Mennonite University STAR training. STAR stands for Strategies for Trauma Awareness and Resilience. We did this in preparation for our upcoming MCC assignment. We don't expect to be dealing firsthand with trauma, though, of course, horrible things can happen to anyone in anyone's life anytime. However, we will be supervising people who will be likely responding to traumatic events, and our MCC programs often include helping folks deal or respond to trauma. We wanted to have a better understanding of how this works. As we went through the training, our scripture passages for today were rolling around in the back of my mind. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts, from Jeremiah. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John. From time to time during our training, I would see a connection between what we were learning and these ancient words. I want to share those connections with you this morning. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says to the people of Israel, "No longer shall you teach one another and say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for you shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." In other words, God says, "I'm going to change your way of knowing." And that, we learned, is what healing from trauma is all about, changing a way of knowing. Trauma is defined as the emotional or physical harm resulting from violent conflict, natural disasters, or societal structure. When folks experience trauma, things change. Trauma affects the body, mind, spirit, and relationships. The world is turned upside down. What was once solid ground now feels like shifting sand. Knowing nothing is safe, everything is now fraught with danger. Knowing is not what it used to be. Post-trauma, our brains develop sensitive, defensive, fearful ways of thinking, which override everything else. Brains are amazing organs, very complicated, very powerful, and, as we learned, very adaptable as well. We may feel trapped in hurtful, fearful ways of thinking and reacting, but we don't have to stay there. We can develop a different way of knowing. According to Linda Graham, who wrote an article entitled "The Neuroscience of Resilience," it is quite possible to redirect our neural pathways so that healthier patterns will result, so that healing can happen, and so that life can take on new meaning. It all happens in the prefrontal cortex, Ms. Graham explains. That's the part up front in the brain. It's the part which calms down stress and quells the fear response of our amygdala or our lizard brain. The prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain which regulates emotions. It's what allows us to consciously feel, recognize, and hold the waves of emotions that move through our body. I was struck by her illustration of how this can work for good. She writes, "One way to hold and process a strong negative emotion is to allow the emotion, to feel it fully and compassionately, and then skillfully allow a very pro-social emotion like gratitude, kindness, or compassion to arise also. Allow the two emotions to be present at the same time. When the positive emotion is felt in the body strongly enough, the neural circuitry of the two emotions will begin to pair together, to fire together, and wire together. the positive emotion will literally rewire the neural firing of the negative emotion. Amazing. The positive emotion will literally rewire the neural firing of the negative emotion. This is a neurological example of good being stronger than evil and love being stronger than hate. We did a lot of exercises in our training last week, a few too many for Bruce's taste, I think. But exercises do help with understanding, and I'm going to ask you to participate in one this morning. It is an exercise that will help us understand how this integrating of the bad and the good, how that happens, and the potential transformative way of knowing how this works. We can practice creating an inner space where negative emotions can be skillfully felt, processed, and moved through so that we don't get hijacked or held hostage by them. Okay, so this is the exercise. I want you to sit quietly and comfortably. Close your eyes if you want to. You don't have to, but it's easier if you do. Breathe gently into your belly, slowly, in and out, bringing a sense of goodness into your belly. Breathe into your belly as though you were safe. Now, remember things or people in your life for which you are grateful. Savor the gratefulness throughout your body. Remember moments of kindness in your life. Savor the feeling of kindness throughout your body. Remember a moment of feeling loved and cherished by someone and loving them back. This can be a person, a pet, or the generous, welcoming spirit of God. Savor the feeling of love throughout your body. Now, bring into this place of well-being a memory of loss, sadness, or grief. Remain mindful of the feeling of the positive state of your body and allow the feeling of sadness to be present in your body at the same time. Simply notice what's happening to the feeling state in your body. Notice and be with it. And when you're ready, let them move through. It's the end of the exercise. Integrating the bad with the good so that the good can shape and transform the outcome is a godly way of knowing, I think. It does not ignore or gloss over what is difficult. There's no denial of the pain or the fear. Instead, it holds both. It allows for new ways of knowing. It allows for new neural pathways to be created. And it allows us to move on in healthy ways, that to not be held hostage by our pain or our fear. Holding the difficult and the transcendent together is required if we really want to know Jesus. He's pretty explicit about this. Let's look again at our passage from the Gospel of John. At the Passover festival in Jerusalem, some strangers approach the disciples and say, "We want to see Jesus." When the disciples tell Jesus, his response at first seems appropriate. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Yeah, we think it's time for him to be recognized and made known. But then Jesus goes on to say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you want to see me, if you really want to know me, he says, you have to be ready to take the bad with the good. We have to take the bad with the good. We fight this, but it won't do us any good. The more we fight it, the more harmful it is to us. Or we can choose to hold the bad together with the good, trusting that if we do so, some new neural pathways will be created, trusting that love is indeed stronger than hate, that life is stronger than death, and that good will prevail. It's not a quick fix or a guarantee of smooth sailing, but it is the stuff of life, and it is what is ultimately real. In a world full of pain, uncertainty, and death, we are called to be carriers of life. And this requires resilience and the willing to enter into difficult places. It requires the ability to stay open and receptive, to hold pain alongside goodness, trusting in goodness's transforming power. This is ultimately what God is all about, and we see this revealed in Jesus. And this is what our hurting world needs. I want to share with you a poem which was in the materials that we received at our training. The poem is by a man named Kenneth Boulding, and he writes, how to endure when all around us die, nations and gracious cities, homes and men, and the sweet earth is made a filthy den beneath whose roof black, belching vultures fly. How to endure the darkness when the sky is totally eclipsed by evil, when foul, grinning chaos spreads its reign again and all good things in senseless ruin lie? Must we be hard as stone? It wears to dust. As stiff as oaks? They ultimately break. As pitiless as steel? It turns to rust. And time from pyramids will ruins make. In violence, decay, starvation, need, what can endure? Only the living seed. Only the living seed. We follow Jesus into the sometimes ugly, sometimes beautiful fullness of life, holding the bad with the good, integrating pain and loss with the love and gratitude that we know to be real, trusting that if we do this, transformation will happen, new neural pathways will be created, and good will prevail. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Dear God, open our hearts. Help us to truly know you with our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. Help us to trust that good will prevail. Amen.
For our hymn of response, we're going to turn in the blue hymnal to number 498. 498. This one's got a little bit of a tricky melody, so if what I'm singing up here sounds different from the book, go with the book.